Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I am Bama John. Today I'm joined with a new colleague on the Bamature Hour, Gary the Amateur. Today is Saturday, August 16th, 2025, in the year of the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 2,800 subscribers to the YouTube channel and growing. We thank each and every one of you that watch us on the YouTube channel, or if you're listening to us and streaming us on the various outlets, such as Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Spotify, and the like, where you listen to us, Amazon Music. We appreciate you very much. Today, we are going to talk about 10 bold predictions for the Alabama football season for 2025. Gary and I are going to jump into it. And this is the Bamature Hour. We are amateurs who are fans of Alabama football and basketball and other Alabama sports. And we just jump in and talk to it. Gary, the amateur, Gary, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate having you on there. We are going to just chop this thing up. Are you ready to jump in and do it?
Let's do this, John. Thank you
All
for
right.
having me.
Yep. Appreciate you being on here. Number one, first, we're going to just note a couple of Bama news and notes that I want to talk about before we jump into the 10 bold predictions. And these are my predictions, by the way, for those of you listening at home, not Gary's predictions. And then Gary's going to comment, question, disagree, give his own point of view. Just a couple news and notes I want to note. Ty, as we had said earlier in our previous episode, Ty has officially been named the starter. We're going to ride with Ty. I'm excited about it. Gary, give us your thoughts about Ty Simpson being named the starter.
I would say no surprises. I mean, we kind of anticipated that he would be named the starter. I think he's earned it. So from that perspective, no big surprises. I saw him earlier in the week on an interview. I think he's got a little bit of the deer in the headlights sort of vibe going on. He probably needs to practice, giving interviews and that kind of stuff. It's a big program, and obviously being the leader of one of the best, or of course, we would say the best football program in the United States. It's a big job. And, will he be up to it? We'll certainly find out as the season progresses.
Well, hopefully, being inexperienced and a novice in front of the cameras in the press is no reflection on his command of the huddle, and he's ready to go. A couple of things I want to say is I'm really excited that Ryan Grubb has come in as the OC. Last year, how much of it was Milroe? How much of it was the lack of an experienced, highly qualified OC? But I certainly think Nick Sheridan didn't get the job done as well as we would have liked. And maybe just Milroe wasn't the guy who had the incredible upside, but also had a really low floor in terms of playing it. So I think Ty is going to have a higher floor than Milroe. He may not have the as high a ceiling when Milroe was hitting on all cylinders, but Milroe made so many mistakes. I'm really looking for Ty to be that guy that's going to be more consistent, who's not going to make the bad negative plays, throw the pick sixes, get sacked in the end zone when he should have thrown the ball away. I think Ty is going to be on that, and I think Grubb is going to coach him up. So I'm really excited about this. Hopefully I'm proven right on that. But it's going to happen. We're going to see. He's going to have to go down to a tough first game in Florida State, and we're going to find out real fast because that is going to be a hot and hostile environment. I'm glad I'm not going to be there live sitting in the sun on the east side of that stadium sweating with that 3:30 p.m. kickoff. I think that's going to be miserable to sit through. So yeah, I think it is a great test to him out of conference to see if he can handle it. Any further thoughts before we jump onto the one other news and note I want
Well,
to
I
throw
would
out here?
say, I agree with you on our new OC, but it's a very difficult job when you're playing against the best defenses in the country week in and week out. It's tough, and other teams have personnel on defense. You got to scheme around them, and are we looking for less mistakes by Ty? Yeah, but I mean he's not running a 4-3 for us either. So I mean you got to play the players that you have and game plan around that. I'm sure our new OC will do a fine job of that.
I'm excited to see, and he and DeBoer have a great track record together with the two of them, and then we've got one season to see how DeBoer did without him, and it was certainly not an A performance when DeBoer was decoupled from Grubb. So hopefully that pairing will lift Alabama's offense up again, and they'll get back to what we expect. We're going to find out. We're going to watch, and we'll certainly comment on it after the game. So, all right, let's jump on to the next news and note that I want to throw out here real quick. I'm just noting this freshman, Caleb Edwards, tight end. He's generating a lot of buzz and vying for playing time since these scrimmages. By the way, there's a scrimmage going on right now. I can't wait to hear what's going on. Unfortunately, I had no access opportunity to it. I know it was closed for the general public, and a few select people, and I'm not in that group, are there watching it. But he's generating a lot of buzz. I'm excited about it. Athletic. I think he's 6'4", very athletic. They're high on him. We don't have a proven tight end that has shown that he's just a game breaker. I think the starting tight end that we've got lined up right now is going to be fine. But just some news and notes. That's all. I'm just noting that. Nothing else there. Any comments, any thoughts on Caleb Edwards? Have you heard anything?
Not much. I mean, he's listed as three deep in the depth chart, and will he have an opportunity to get some playing time? If he's been showing out a little bit, well, let's hope he does. That's a position that we see other teams have kind of dominant players. It would be nice for somebody to step up for us.
Well, he needs to do it. We need it to happen. But the good news is it's a loaded roster. All right. Are you ready? Drum roll to jump into the Bama 10 bold predictions that Bama John makes and that Gary's either going to pick apart or supplement or agree with. You ready to roll?
Ready.
Let's do it. All right. Here we go. Bold prediction number 10, and I'm going 10 to 1. Number 10 is Jeremy Bernard. I think he is going to take it to a whole new level this year. I think he's going to get over 1,000 yards. I think he's going to catch at least 10 touchdown passes. We're going to have a three-pronged wide receiver attack, and I think he's going to be key. I think there's two other guys that in that three-prong attack, and you could throw Rico Scott in there as well, but he's not on this list. But I think my first bold prediction is Jeremy Bernard, 1,000-yard receiver, has over 10 touchdown passes and really helps open up this offense. And I think he and Ty are going to have a great connection. Okay, what do you think?
I think it's tough. I do. I mean, I'm a fan of Jeremy's, but and he delivered sometimes last year. I mean, he showed out at the Auburn game. He had seven receptions for 111 yards, and we got a lot of really, like you're alluding to, a lot of talented receivers. I think some questions that might fit, the answers to which might feed into this prediction are, what's our pass pro going to be like? Is Ty going to deliver the ball? Is Ryan Williams going to draw enough attention where we can kind of get Jeremy involved? The Auburn game was the only three-digit receiving game he had last year, so I would say this is slightly bold. I would not be surprised if he has a solid season. He's a silky guy, but I would not be surprised if he's under 1,000, especially given the other weapons that we have at that position.
Well, DeBoer's last year at Washington with Grubb, they had a guy named Michael Penix, and Penix had three 1,000-yard receivers on that squad who are all in the NFL now. And what I'm alluding to is I think we're going to have at least 2,000-yard receivers, possibly three of them this year, and that means Ty's going to have some big numbers. And that's my bold prediction number one.
I
So,
would point out that Michael Penix went to the Falcons and is, a pretty established quarterback, knew how to distribute the ball. So I just think we have a question mark that wasn't present in Washington in terms of having three.
I agree with you that Simpson hasn't proven to be as good as Penix was, but again, I think in our bold predictions, I might be saying something about that later. So, you ready to move on to the next one?
Let's go.
Drum roll, please. Number 9 on the bold predictions. Isaiah Horton. Here's the number two prong on that three-prong wide receiver attack. Isaiah Horton, he is going to be our red zone guy. He is that 6'4" athletic guy that you can win those 50-50 balls when it's third and short, third and medium. He's going to be that guy that can win those battles. So I think that his presence, and he may draw some double teams. And you can't double team Isaiah Horton and Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard. I think they're all three high-level receivers. I definitely think Isaiah Horton's going to get 10 to 15 touchdown passes. He's going to be a key third down, quick throw it up to him. He's going to win those 50-50 balls. We didn't have that red zone receiver last year that you could throw those passes to. My bold prediction, number nine, is Isaiah Horton is going to be a huge red zone third down, get 10 to 15 touchdown passes, probably also get 1,000 yards. And he's going to be that second prong of why Ty Simpson's going to get 3,000 plus yards. So, all right, go ahead, take it from there, Gary.
So I agree with this one. So your touchdown prediction, 10 to 15, that's a big enough range to drive a truck through. But I do think Isaiah's going to have a big year. You know, they tell you in the investment world that past performance is not a, you know, guarantee of future. He did have a breakout year last year for Miami, with 56 receptions, 5 touchdowns, 616 yards. He's in that mold of Julio. I know that's a strong comparison to one of the greats of all time, but he's got that size, he's got that athleticism, and it would be nice to have somebody who can go high point that ball against any cover corner and win that battle, especially third and five, third and seven. He's going to be a weapon if we can, if he stays healthy. I agree with your bold prediction. I think it's a solid one.
And just to point out the health, this wide receiver room is really deep. And I like three or four guys who may not get as much playing time as they would like. But when these three guys are all in the NFL, they're going to step up. But the good news is DeBoer likes to play his second teamers to keep the first team guys fresh. So I think people like Luxier Brooks, Rico Scott are going to get some playing time. And if one of these guys go down, you know, I'm praying for health, but we all know injuries is a big part of football. If one or two of these guys go down, we do have some really talented guys, yet inexperienced, who can step in. But okay, that was my bold prediction number nine. Let's jump into bold prediction number eight right here. Drum roll, please. All right. Bama defense, turnovers aplenty. I think we're going to triple the number of turnovers the defense forces this year in terms of interceptions, in terms of fumbles, because I think this defense is a year older, a year better. It's very talented. The DB room is, like the wide receiver room, probably one of the best position groups on the whole team, loaded with talent. And I think the linebackers are good. I know we brought in N'Keal Harris from Colorado. He's ready to step in. We got great other linebackers. And I'm confident that the defense is going to get the kind of pass rush and pressure this year that they did weren't able to put on the quarterbacks last year, that instead of being hurries, turn into sacks, turnovers, and plays that are going to make this defense just ferocious. So that's my bold prediction number eight. Turnovers aplenty, and it's going to be at least triple the number from last year. All right, take it away.
I think triple's tough. Our numbers last year were not, you know, conference leading or anything like that. But I mean, let's just cut it straight. I mean, you've got NFL managers and NFL scouts, they're salivating when they look at our defensive starters. I mean, we've got some major players in the backfield. Our safeties are probably two of the best, or emerging as two of the best, in the country. Bray Hubbard had a great season, and Keon, of course, playing strong for us as well. You know, some of that turnover prediction, though, is going to get into the pressure we can put on the quarterback. We got some of the personnel there. I think we are going to do a better job of that in terms of forcing quick throws or forcing mistakes, and some fumbles in the backfield as well. So I like your prediction. It's sort of old school in the sense that those folks of us who've been Alabama football fans for a long time remember the days where the elite defenses won games. I don't think they can win games by themselves, but I think this defense is going to be forcing a lot of turnovers, putting a lot of pressure on opposing offenses.
All right, let's go to number seven in my bold predictions. And remember, these are bold. So, like you said, I'm kind of stretching it out there with some of these predictions. Number seven, the Bama interior D line. I think this D line is going to be much better this year in terms of stuffing the run, holding up better because we got gashed by the run last year. Tennessee, Oklahoma, particularly Michigan, even though we held them to very few points and had a lot of Milroe turnovers, just like in Oklahoma, we got gashed by the run. So I think Tim Keenan and James Smith are going to be studs in the middle this year. They're going to be able to get the kind of interior push. They're going to fortify the line, and we're going to do a much better job with that. I think the Steve Mbumawa, Jeremiah Beeman, Edric Hill, Isaiah Faga, London Simmons. I think two or three of those guys are going to step up in the in their sub roles as well. And Kane Womack likes to play a lot of guys. They're going to step up, and I think we're going to get a much better push. And I think we're also on the pass rush. We're going to collapse the pocket from the interior much better this year than we did last year. So that's my bold prediction. Number seven is that interior D line is going to be much better and going to be a force to be reckoned with. All right, take it away.
I like this prediction. I mean, some of it, you're looking at the starters. I don't know that you listed LT, but I mean, he's, on the watch or listening on several
Or remember,
preseason lists.
Interior D
Oh, the
line.
interior. So
I'm
Tim Keenan
I'm
and
focusing on the interior.
okay,
We'll get to the edge in a
I
minute.
got you.
So don't jump the gun too quickly. Okay, jump on. I'm sorry. I just
Tim
wanted to point
Keenan.
that out.
So I have a son who played basketball who had to guard Tim Keenan in
Ugh.
a tournament at Hoover High School several years ago, and I just remember seeing him as a young man and just thinking, "Oh my goodness, I hope he plays football at Alabama. He's in the right position. He can really plug that hole at nose tackle." And the thing is, we have some more depth. We got some Isaiah Faga as a freshman at D tackle. We've got a little bit better depth because, that's a position where it'll just wear you out. LSU used to be kind of the best in the conference about cycling people in and getting those big bodies. And I think we've done a good job recruiting, and I like our chances to make a difference in the middle this year.
All right, next up is number six. This is number six bold prediction is the Bama sack pack. All right, and this is where we get those edge rushers, those linebackers, whether it's on a blitz or just finishing, instead of having just the hurries, they get the quarterback and they get him to the ground. I'm projecting 15 plus QB sacks this year, which we had much less than that. I think LT is going to improve his technique. LT is a pro prospect, but when I watched his film last year, I went back and rewatched a lot of it this summer. There was just some technical issues where his technique was poor. He was relying on his athleticism instead of being technically sound in terms of setting the edge, having his hips the right way instead of looking to the center. Because when your hips and your shoulders are focused to the middle of the field, it's easy to let that quarterback get outside. Whereas you keep your hips focused to the outside, he can't beat you to the edge because you've got the leverage there. So I think LT, I think Quay Rousseau, I think Deontay Lawson, I think those guys are going to be much more effective and not just pressuring the quarterback, but getting him to the ground and causing sacks, creating fumbles, and being effective. So that is number six is the Bama sack pack, at least 15 QB sacks this year.
Yeah, so I want that to be true. And LT last year, there were games and there were plays where he showed so much promise that he looked like a rising star physically. He's one of the most athletic guys on the defensive front. I don't know though. I mean, I look at recent history and last year, and D coordinators with our starters have had time to look and or excuse me, offensive coordinators have had time to sort of digest our personnel. We were tied 14th in the SEC for sacks per game last year. I think, John, that this one is kind of like spicy Doritos. It's a little too bold for my taste. I think we'll have improvement from last year, but I don't see us rising to 15 this year.
Well, again, it's a bold prediction. I'm stepping out on the edge, and I get that you don't agree with it, but hey,
You're living dangerously. I like it.
I'm rolling the dice. All right, ready for number five? Here we go. All right, number five, Daniel Hill is the next great Alabama running back.
It would be the easy answer to that is he's too young. We don't know. He hasn't had enough touches. But I mean, he's got that physical frame. So I mean, he's 6'3", 2, what, 240-ish.
Yeah, he's 240 and he's fast and apparently has good hands.
I mean, that makes you think of King Henry. I mean, that you got to think of Derrick, who sort of set the standard for that frame. But then we've had some other good backs that are bigger backs. I think back to T.J. Yeldon or Sean Alexander. I'll say this, we've been burned so many times just over the years and over the decades of this will be the next great back. And sometimes like Kenyon Drake, they just sort of sneak out of nowhere and show up. So I'll say this is too bold. Respectfully disagree with my host, and just say we have a lot of depth. Jam obviously is listed as the starter this year. We've got a lot of depth, a lot of players. I don't see Daniel Hill showing us signs that he's the next Derrick Henry or T.J. Yeldon or Sean Alexander. If that's the standard for the next greatest, then I would say he would fall short. I do see him making strides this year, improving, kind of getting used to the speed of the game a little bit. So I think maybe a little bit too bold on that one too.
I do think he is going to be the short yardage back. I think you watch, he will be in there when it's third and two, fourth and one, when we're in the red zone. I think he's the best power back we have, and he's got a good combination of power and speed. So I don't know that anybody else in that running back room has the combination that he has. And at running back position, I think freshmen can make an impact faster than at other positions because there's just not quite as much to learn. So that's got me optimistic, and I'm just not sold on Jam. And I hope Jam makes a huge jump this year. I hope Jam can be that lead back that we want in the vein of, say, a Josh Jacobs. But I think Daniel Hill this year can be at least as good as a Josh Jacobs. And Josh Jacobs was great for us. He's playing the NFL. I think that's what this guy will be. Again,
Elite
bold
player.
predict. That's a bold prediction.
Well, I will say this. So I've also heard that Daniel's got very good hands, and that gives you confidence if you're the coach to put him in that short yardage situation that he won't fumble the ball and will be consistent. But I mean, Josh Jacobs, that was not that many years ago. He was elite, and I mean, you could kind of see that right away. So I'll be really, really excited to watch Daniel progress this year. Let me say, I don't think your prediction is going to pan out in terms of that level of greatness, but I sure hope it does.
All right, let's jump to the next one as we keep this train rolling. All right. And you're probably not going to think this one's that bold. Ryan Williams, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, all SEC, all American. He's going to be the stud. He's going to be the go-to guy. He may also be the guy that demands all that double coverage that makes it easy for Jeremy Bernard and Isaiah Horton to get open, makes whoever's at tight end, Josh Cuevas, Caleb Edwards to get open. Ryan Williams is going to be amazing this year, and he's going to take another step. And quite honestly, last year, I thought there was a lot of times when Ryan Williams was way out, spread out wide with single coverage, and I'm going, why are they not calling a go route and just have Milroe throw it up to Williams and let him beat his guy, and they wouldn't do it. And I didn't understand it, but that is bold prediction number four. Ryan Williams is going to be a absolute stud and take it up a notch.
I love this prediction. It's really hard to even think about who he's like. I mean, I've heard guys say David Palmer, the Deuce, back old school. He's sort of his own entity. And you know, I don't know how many times I've rewatched, like most of the people viewing this, the Georgia play there at the end where
That was
he
unreal.
made the spectacular touchdown. But that wasn't the only play. Now, he did, you know, he had some issues in the Michigan game, obviously, but he only got targeted 3 times and for 8 yards in that game. But when he was at his best, you know, I can't name another receiver in the country that is as good as Ryan Williams. Let's hope he stays healthy, and let's hope you know he I hope he has an amazing year. I mean, the thing is, the only thing I would say that makes me hesitate on the 1,000 yards and could easily do it. Yeah, I mean, he's known.
Oh
He's
yeah.
on the radar. He's everybody, you know. So my thought is, will Grubb use him as a decoy, probably more than he wants to be used, to open up Jeremy and some other receivers? That's possible. That could obviously keep his yardage down. And then he had some pedestrian games last year, and you would expect that from a newcomer. But I think he's got a really good chance of having a 1,000 yard year. And I think if he has a 1,000 yard, I think it could be a good bit north of 1,000.
I think minimum 1,000 yard, at least 10 touchdowns. He's going to have a huge year, and his presence is going to allow those other receivers to have big years as well. One thing I will say is I really think Milroe stymied Williams's production last year because Milroe was not good at the short intermediate passes, and I think there was a lot of opportunities to do little quick hitters to him that Milroe just wasn't good at executing. And
Yeah, and I would like to add this, sort of self-serving, but Ryan, if you're watching this, we love you and thank you for staying at Alabama. We're really looking forward to you on the field this year.
Amen to that, brother. Amen. I am excited about that. All right. So, shall we go to number two? Let's do that. Drum roll. I know the excitement's building for everybody listening and watching. Number two is Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson is going to throw for over 3,000 yards. He's going to throw for 30 plus touchdowns. Interceptions are going to be low. He's not going to have all those negative plays. He's going to be very consistent, and he's going to operate the offense the way Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer want it. He'll be able to play within structure. He's not going to take the negative plays. He's going to throw the ball away instead of trying to extend plays with the athleticism. I just think he is a better overall quarterback than Milroe and is going to prove it out and is going to be a minimum of all SEC. And the combination of Simpson working with Grubb is going to work and it's going to lead Alabama to great things. So that is bold prediction number two.
So I think that's very bold, and you know, I like pieces of that. The 3,000 yards, I could see that happening. You know, you got Nussmeier and Archie, and you got some SEC quarterbacks that are probably going to take up some oxygen, and they have big years. It's going to be hard to be all SEC when the dust settles. He's got the system in place. He's got the weapons in place in terms of the receiver core. I think it's going to come down to pass pro. I really do, and I understand he's agile and he can make plays with his feet for sure. I've heard guys compare him to AJ McCarron. I mean, he's faster than AJ. You know, AJ to me, and I guess I'm being a little sentimental, but he had that it factor. And you know, when the pressure was higher, he kind of performed. Ty, I think we have a question mark there. He's had limited playing time. You know, Milroe obviously was the leader of the team last year, for most of the year, almost all the year, and you know, I think it's a question mark. Can I see him getting 3,000 yards with the receiving core he has? Absolutely. And with the scheme Grubb's putting in, all SEC, I think that part of the bowl prediction is a little bit of a stretch. I think we got a crowded quarterback field at the top, in our particular league.
I agree with that, but again, I'm being optimistic, making a bold prediction, and I think he just needs to run the offense and let his weapons do the work for him. And if he can do that and limit the turnovers and not make, because Milroe, God, he was a phenomenal athlete and he could make great plays, but he could make terrible plays. And I think that's going to be a huge difference is Ryan Grubb working with Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson has sat and he's waited his turn. And I think it's time for him to step up. The funny thing about Ty Simpson, he's never thrown a touchdown pass in a college game, but I think he's run. I know he's run for two. I think he's run for three touchdowns. So I like your AJ McCarron. I like the comp, other than he's more athletic, more mobile. And they've really praised how his ability to throw the ball on the run when needed. And it's that ability to extend a play a little bit and use some athleticism to just give a little bit of time for that guy to get open and then hit him. But I think he'll be able to throw the ball within structure as well and also throw the ball away. I'm very optimistic, but again, bold prediction. So we're going to hope that I'm right. But the funny thing is, I think Ty Simpson can lead us to great things, even if he's not as good as I'm predicting here. I think we can still have some magical things happen. And you ready for bold prediction number one, Gary?
Can
Here it
I add
comes.
something on the
Oh, please,
time? So
please.
he, yeah. So, you didn't use the term game manager, and I'm glad you didn't do that. But I think we're going to need a little more than that this year. Just quite frankly, some of the offenses we're going to be facing, even if our defense is lights out, we're going to have to score some points. High 20s, mid 30s, kind of offensive production. Can he do that? I think that it's really great that he's been, quite frankly, on the bench this long. Learned a lot last year in DeBoer's system, and it makes me think of a Jake Coker. It makes me think of a Greg McElroy. Those guys that waited their term. They may have come out kind of heralded out of high school, but this is Alabama, right? I mean, you're gonna wait your turn. I think those things are things that favor him. I'm just not sold yet that he has that sort of it factor. McCarron, I hope he does.
Well, that's my bold prediction that he does, and I may be singing a different tune on August 31st. I hope I'm not, but hopefully I'll be saying, "Yeah, I told you so. He's the man," and we'll be able to ride that wave and enjoy the season. Because depending on what happens on August 30th, we may be talking about Austin Mack or Keelan Russell. But I really do think the spring and the fall camp was an open competition. I think Ty was given the benefit of the doubt, but I think they gave those other guys a chance to show that they were better than Ty. I think if they were equal or maybe a hair better, they were going to give it to Ty, being the older guy in the room. But I don't think those guys are ready yet to perform at that level. But I think we've got two quality backups sitting there ready to go if Ty gets injured or if Ty really does stumble. But I really hope this prediction comes true, because if this bold prediction comes true, then I think we're in great shape for bold prediction number one. Here we go. Number one, drum roll, please. Bama wins the Natty. That is bold prediction number one. And I'm going to just run through a couple of reasons why, and then I'm going to let you just chop it up as much as you want. I don't know if you've ever heard of Brad Powers. He is a college football handicapper, prognosticator, better. A lot of people follow him. His two favorite teams to win the Natty are Alabama and Notre Dame. He thinks they both have loaded rosters, junior, senior laden, that they both recruited really well. They've supplemented with the portal, but they haven't tried to build their team with the portal. And he thinks that Ty can handle it. So he likes Bama and Notre Dame. So I love that. And that guy is really on top of things. I like that. But obviously, what Brad Powers predicts has no, it's got to happen on the field. I think the Ty Simpson, Ryan Grubb factor, I think that's going to elevate this offense, and we're going to be much better, much more consistent, able to pull out games and put together drives when we need to, and also the red zone. We got bogged down in the red zone last year and couldn't come up with touchdowns when we needed to. I think we're going to be able to score in the red zone this year for a lot of different reasons. Daniel Hill, Isaiah Horton, Ty Simpson making better decisions. Deep experienced roster led by juniors and seniors. We've recruited great the last 3 years. We've maintained those guys for the most part. and lost very few in the portal, and then we've made strategic acquisitions in the portal. I think that really helps this team. I like the Isaiah Horton addition, and I think this team is motivated from what happened last year, particularly in the last part of the season when the wheels came off, losing at Tennessee, losing at Oklahoma to lose their playoff opportunity, playing awful in Michigan. At least the offense should be embarrassed. So I think all of those things are why I'm making the bold prediction that we're going to get another natty. So jump in there, chop it up, give me your thoughts.
Well, one of the best things really about being an Alabama football fan is you think you're going to win the national championship every year. I thought we were going to win last year before the season started playing out. And I love that. I mean, I love this bold prediction. I think it is bold. Even though there are some analysts that have us there, a big key to me is going to be defense. We return about 65% of our big play power on defense, which is one of the highest percentages in the country, certainly one of the highest percentages in the SEC. It was a big draft and all of that. I think our defense is going to be so elite that I think we have a chance to go all the way. I do think there's going to be some drama this year. I think we're going to drop a game or two. I think we're going to be despondent. I think Ty will have some fits and starts, like a high beta stock price. I will say all of that, but it would delight me to no end to face Notre Dame like we did in Miami several years ago for the national championship game. And I would expect us to thump them like we did that time with Eddie Lacy and the spin move, something they couldn't handle. But I like the prediction. I think that I don't think we go undefeated. As a matter of fact, I think we may lose two games. And I think that's something that we can thread the needle, have some growing pains early, and let that elite defense kind of keep us in some really tough games down the stretch, including Auburn. I like it.
Well,
I like
and
your
note,
optimism.
I did not predict an undefeated season.
Yes.
And our SEC road struggles last year, I agree with you. I think we're going to lose two road SEC games this year. I think we're going to, and if we can't win at least two of those four road games, we're not winning a natty. I mean, we're not going to make the playoffs. We got to be able to go to Auburn and Missouri, or Georgia and Auburn, or South Carolina and Missouri, and we got to come away with wins on the road. We got to run the table at home. We got to beat Florida State. But I think a two-loss Alabama team is going to get in the playoffs. We may not even be in the SEC championship, but we're going to pull in Ohio State and go in there with two losses and then just blitz through that thing. And even though you don't cut down the nets, we're going to tear down the goalposts in the net in the championship game, win it. And I'm glad you brought up the fact that we're not going undefeated, because I'll be amazed if they only lose one game. I think they're going to lose two games, make the playoffs, and then make that run. But you can do that in this day and age. You don't have to limit it to one loss. And I think this team is going to be more resilient, and they're going to be more prepared when they play Vanderbilt and not have a. I mean, that was embarrassing. I mean, hats
That
off
was
to. And
unbelievable.
by the way, I grew up a Vanderbilt fan. I was happy for Vanderbilt. I've sat in the Vanderbilt Stadium many a Saturday and watched teams beat Vanderbilt 42-3. I saw Alabama come in and beat them 66-0 in the 70s, and then do that again when Tua went in there. And with Tua and Jalen Hurts, and just blitz Vanderbilt. So that was embarrassing. I couldn't believe it, but I was happy as a Vanderbilt fan. But it's like, oh, that's though, danger Will Robinson there. So yes, I agree with you. Not going undefeated, but you don't have to. And I think we're going to win the Natty. All right, final thoughts, parting thoughts before we
Yeah,
wrap this
so a
up.
couple of things, on that road to the Natty. So I love that bold prediction, and I endorse that bold prediction. There are a few things I think we can avoid this year. We had some letdown games is an understatement. You mentioned Vanderbilt. I mean, we need our O-line to step up. We won't have Milroe, and I'm a Milroe fan, but he had times, we all know as fans, that he completely disappeared, made really bad errors in judgment, made some plays that just made you scratch your head, like why did you do that, and where did that come from? And of course, he could mask some other bad decisions with his elite speed. So Ty, I think we're going to have maybe a slightly lower ceiling in terms of big play potential, but I think we're going to have a much higher floor to, not kind of dropping the ball on some of that stuff. And I expect our tackles, offensive tackles, to step up a little bit this year. So I like it. I will say this though, John, I think FSU is a must win. I think we could lose an early game or two, but we cannot lose FSU, I don't think.
If we lose that FSU game, that's a sign of trouble. And then we have to win three of those four SEC road games, not just two of them, and we have to run the table at home. I agree with you. If we lose to FSU, I'm not going to feel good about my bold prediction of a natty. It's going to be signs of trouble. Funny thing about FSU is they went portal heavy to try to rebuild their team. And they went portal heavy last year and it failed. They went portal heavy again. The history right now with these portal heavy teams are they can get better, but they can't really be serious national championship contenders in that first year when they go heavy portal. I think when you bring a big portal class, it takes 2 years, not 1 year, for those guys to gel. And if you can keep those guys for 2 years, then you can really contend. But you've got to recruit well too and keep those top recruits in the program. So I think Florida State's going to be in a little bit of a disarray, but Gus Malzahn scares me. The dual threat quarterback scares me. We've seen Gus Malzahn punish Alabama a lot in the past, so I view that as a trap game. It's going to be very interesting. But I will say this. Okay, let's look at who's won the national championship since 2019. Joe Burrow, enough said. Great
Yeah, enough.
quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer in the NFL. After that, Mac Jones, Stetson Bennett, twice, JJ McCarthy and Will Howard. You do not have to have a Joe Burrow to win the national championship. I mean, Greg McElroy, great example of a great college quarterback who could lead you to a national championship, but his NFL career, he had a cup of coffee, I guess, in the NFL, but he certainly didn't make an impact. AJ McCarron has not made an impact in the NFL. Mac Jones had a really good rookie year, struggled his second year. Now he's a backup. Will Howard, yet to be determined if he can make it. JJ McCarthy's going to start this year. He could be a good NFL quarterback, but it's in doubt. So that's why I think Ty can lead us. As you look at those guys that have won it, other than Joe Burrow, it has not been a parade of Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady. As a matter of fact, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady did not win natties in college.
Well, and one thing I like, John, is you just named programs that had elite defenses too. I mean, you got
Right?
Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State. These are lights out defenses, and we have that this year. I think we're going to prove it on the field. I do want to make one other comment about the FSU. I know you're a basketball fan, and I am as well. You see these teams that have been together a long time that are playing a lot of juniors and seniors, not the one and done kind of Kentucky model. You got Wisconsin, you got Purdue, you got Michigan, who that's their strength. I think this, we're still in an experimental phase with, building a roster with all these transfer portal people that have not been together. These guys have not been together at all and haven't had really the longer arc of time to gel and have chemistry and brotherhood. So I agree with you. I don't think that's a winning model. It's not to say that because they have enough elite athletes that they aren't a dangerous team, but teams like that don't really win the national championship. And hopefully a team like that will not be winning in Tallahassee here in a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, let's hope Bama's ready and that Florida State hasn't gelled. I think Florida State will get better over the season if they have more time to play together. I'd rather play them now than 3 months from now, other than it's going to be doggone hot in Tallahassee. That's going to be it's going to be broiling. But and one other thing I would say, that LSU team that won in 19, junior and senior heavy, they had a lot of NFL players. And they were our Alabama team in 2020, which was a great team, was junior senior heavy. Those two Georgia teams had a lot of upperclassmen that were NFL draft picks. Same thing with Michigan and Ohio State. So I think that sets up Alabama really well for how many upperclassmen we have in key positions ready to go. All right, that's all I've got. You got anything else before we wrap it up here?
No, I think a bold prediction about winning the national championship is an excellent point to end on.
All right. Well, I just want to thank every one of you for listening and watching. God bless and roll tide.
Roll Tide.